Welcome to another episode of Jujitettles Coast to Coast, everybody, the podcast that talks about what's important on and off the mats. It's time for our monthly 40s with friends segment for May. For those of you that are new listeners out there, this is the first time. Usually we run this back one time a month where we don't talk about MMA or jujitsu, or we sometimes can, you know. It just basically depends on what we're feeling, but it's basically guys just sharing what the fuck kind of stories. And we got some super good ones. I'm joined by my boy, Eduardo. Don't call me Leonardo DiCaprio Contreras. What's going on, boy?
Nothing much, Frankie. Two times. I'm glad to be back on the show. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to share my story with you and to our listeners.
Love having you on. Love having you on. You know that. You know that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just jump right into this, man. Let's fucking cannonball into the deep end. I'm going to give a little preview of what I'm going to do. I got two stories for us today. I've been doing a lot of research. I've been super inspired but with things that have just been going on the news, things that I've been reading about, and it inspired me to do a little bit more research into a couple of topics, and I cannot wait to share these with you guys. One of them, Eddie, you guys know, everybody out there listening on these 40s with friends topics, I do like to talk a lot about history and crazy stories. And this one, I got one crazy story. Actually, it's going to be a history story, and it's covering the history of dueling.
Ooh, shit.
Not battling, like breakdancing, but the history of dueling. So that'll be pretty cool. And I've been inspired by what's been on the news recently. And I got some crazy, crazy revenge breakup stories that I want to share. Kind of an ode to our crazy dating stories that we did way back when we first started, you know, just for funsies. So that'll be fun. What about you, Eddie? You want to preview a little bit about what you're going to be talking about in a little bit?
Yeah, but before I do, just so our listeners know, today's a one-year anniversary that we filmed with Dr. Alfonso Tucker. So I would recommend that our listeners go back through our archive and check out that interview. It was really well done. So check that out, one-year anniversary of that. And I am going to discuss martial arts' three biggest phonies in history.
Nice. So, yeah, heck yeah.
It's gonna be a good one. So it's more of an opinion piece than anything else.
Our opinions matter.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Since I got two, let me start first. All right. So is that cool, Eddie?
Absolutely, man. Let's dive in.
All right, cool. All right. So let me start this little storytelling by asking you a question, dude. And actually, I kind of know the answer to this, but think about this for a little bit. Okay. What is the most upset you've ever been at anything? Like maybe an ex-girlfriend, maybe something happened at work with a coworker, maybe something at school, maybe with the boss, you know? Did it make you want to yell? Did it make you want to knock somebody out? Did it make you want to break something? I'm saying that because the most upset I've ever seen you, Eddie, was when I told you that Old Spice was discontinuing the Old Spice Cool Contact Wipes, and it took you a while to calm down. I know you remember
I was angry. Sorry to the two homeless men that I ran over in my car, but it wasn't my fault. It was Old Spice's fault. They pulled the rug from underneath me.
We went back to tell them why you ran them over, and we told them they completely understood. They were okay with it.
And I also stabbed that nun. She had it coming, though. She mean mugged me. Well, she picked the wrong day
to look me up. That was her fault. Yeah.
I don't take any responsibility for my actions. It's Old Spice's fault. Let's get that out of the way.
That's why they say that. Right now.
As a kid, I remember as a kid, my mom canceled my subscription to WWF Magazine.
Yes, and I remember this.
Yeah, I think I flipped over the coffee table, I flipped over the couches, and I just started screaming till I passed out. Needless to say, when I woke up, my mom beat me down pretty good. Well, I had it coming though. I had it coming. I had she was like, "What the fuck did I raise?" So I got the belt. I got the belt. I would say I got like 20 lashes with it,
ooh,
which taught me not to do that anymore. Wrestling was my religion when I was 8 and 9. So again, I had the carpet pulled from underneath me. What about you, Frank? What's the angriest you've ever been?
Well, before I tell you that, let me ask you this. Did you get your WWF subscription renewed?
No. No way.
I didn't think so. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The most mad I've ever been. I was pretty pissed a while back when I thought my nephew broke my PlayStation. Nah, that's not bad. Not even that, man. I mean, I can't really think of a time I've like completely lost my mind and was like just raging out and wanted to fight or break something. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe when Conor McGregor knocked out Jose Aldo.
Yeah, that was a sad moment.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so maybe that. I'm gonna go with that.
Okay.
But even what we just mentioned does not even compare to how. I mean, I don't even know if there's a level of anger that can take you to this level. So on the news recently, you know, we've been inundated with Johnny Depp and Amber the Turd Heard news, and it just got me thinking, dude. Like, how mad can you be? Or how upset do you got to get to the point where you end up taking a dump on somebody's bed and you thought it was a good idea? I don't know. I don't think that's ever been a good idea. I don't know if anybody's ever been that upset to the point where they're going to end up doing that and then they try to cover it up by blaming the dog. But whatever. She didn't think that plan through. Super effed up. But then that got me thinking about, have there been just other crazy revenge? Right? Yeah.
Real quick, shout out to all my exes who didn't take a shit on my bed. Thank you, ladies.
Word. Thank you. even though I super deserved it.
Oh man. I wonder how many people are gonna be how many girls or guys are gonna be inspired by that Amber lady and decide to take a shit on their ex's bed now.
I'm sure there's a club already. There's a Facebook page for this.
Okay. It's the beginning of a new age. Trending.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 2022, man. Don't be shaming people. So let me share three little revenge stories here. And they may or may not be true, but they were super interesting. So as I start scouring the internet, I find this one. This one's pretty funny. This one's short. I found this one on a website called, I forgot to write the name of the website, but I Googled funny breakup revenge. So in Australia, guy gets dumped by his girlfriend and he goes on to create a flyer and he posts it all over the town. Posts these flyers all over the town. And at the bottom of the flyer, he puts a phone number. You know those, like in college when someone's selling something, they're like, hey, take this tag and call the number for movers or for a pizza delivery or something like that. He makes a bunch of little tabs with the phone number on there. And he says, hey, call this phone number and do your best Chewbacca impersonation. And the best one is going to win $100. Well, the number he used... Yeah, the number he used was his ex-girlfriend's. So she just, for weeks, was getting people calling her at random times of the day. They wouldn't even say nothing. They would just be like, arr, arr, arr. That's pretty good.
That's legendary.
That is legendary, man. That's like next level thinking. Hire that man to run a 500 company.
Oh yeah,
he's going. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, Fortune 500 has something for him for sure. So that was a funny one. Another one that I found was kind of weird, and this kind of brought up like old Drake stories. You remember a while back when Drake made headlines for saying that he hooked up with some Instagram model and they did it. And then he put like hot sauce in his condom afterwards. And then she went in the bathroom and grabbed it. You remember that?
He put hot sauce on his condom? And then after stuck his penis inside the girl?
No, after he was done, after he was done, he goes into the bathroom, takes his condom off, and proceeds to put hot sauce inside of the condom that had his jizz. Then he ties it up, throws it in the trash. I guess she used the restroom later, finds the condom, opens it up, and tries to get the stuff out and put it inside. And that's when she
tried to impregnate herself with
saying.
Sperm.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this revenge story is along those same lines. So I found this on a website called boardpanda.com/revenge stories. So this chick finds out that her husband's cheating on her. She finds a box of condoms in the car. It's already open. She takes them out and she pokes a hole in each one, just one hole. Then she soaks them in habanero and pepper juice. Then she takes them out, dries them off, puts them back into the box. And then a few days later, the husband says, or the boyfriend says, hey, I got to go to my mom's to help her with something. And I guess that same day, her best friend calls her and is like, hey, I just had sex with my boyfriend and I'm super burning down there. I don't know what to do. So in essence, she already knew what happened. Husband, boyfriend, whatever, was cheating with her best friend. And so that was her revenge. She dumped them.
I would rather have her shit on my bed.
Yeah, for sure. Johnny Depp got off easy. For sure. Check this one out, though. This next one is next level petty. And I'll post this on our social media and I'll share this pic. Maybe you guys can share it too. Because the end result of this was fucking epic. So dude ends up getting divorced. You know, he lost some stuff in the divorce settlement, I guess, that he wasn't too happy with. And one of the things he lost was the home. They had a bunch of property, like just tons of land out in the woods somewhere. I'm not sure where this was, but it was in the woods in a forest somewhere. So this house is sitting in the middle of the woods on a bunch of land that they own. The wife gets the house. She gets the house, but the husband gets all of the surrounding property. Following me?
I like where this is going.
So what does the husband do next? He's like, all right, you're in the forest. Guess what? Not anymore. Bat cuts all the trees down on their property. And I'm talking like 20, 30, 40 acres of trees. He just cuts them all down and sells them.
Damn. So
now she's got no trees. Now she's got no trees. He's not done. He's not done because, again, he owns all the property around the house. So what does he do? He sells all the topsoil. So all the grass, all the gravel, all the rocks, all the dirt on top. They just scrape it all off, dude. So now it just kind of looks like hard pan. Well, he wasn't done yet because underneath that hard pan, there's a bunch of gravel. So he sold that too. So they dug all that stuff out. And by the time they were done, all that was left was like an island of dirt holding the house up with a dirt driveway coming down so that she can drive in and out. And there was not a darn thing anywhere else surrounding the house. You gotta see this picture, dude. Man. It's fucking epic. Yeah, dude, it looks like she's living in the middle of a field that just got plowed, and there's just nothing. Completely barren, man. It was a really nice house. Unfortunately, that man had revenge on his mind, and he was not gonna rest until it was done.
Well, they're even now. You gotta say that.
Yeah, for sure. Heck yeah. And that was it, man. So compared to those stories, I mean, getting pooped, someone pooping on your bed, that's not so bad, especially Johnny Depp. He's rich, so he's not going to be cleaning that poop up.
Yeah, Yeah, he's got maids for that shit.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, he's got Johnny Depp money.
yeah, good for that guy, I guess. Holy shit. Wow. Wow, he put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah, for sure, man. Kind of like I mean, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, dude. So allegedly they're saying that they got into an argument at her birthday party. And then the next day, that's when that happens. So I don't know. Like, did she do it the next morning? Did she poop in the bed? Did she poop in the bathroom, carry it to the bed? Did she stand over the bed and poop? What did she do afterwards? Did she hobble to the restroom? Did she wipe right? I mean, I don't know. It's just awful, dude. Super embarrassing to find out.
She should get a sponsorship from Frosted Mini Wheats and Mucinex.
When you gotta go, you can go.
Oh, man.
She should team up with Pat Hill. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
I guess if you get angry enough, we're no different than the chimps at the zoo. Or in the wild.
Hey, she wasn't throwing it. She just pooped in his bed, all right? Come on. You're taking it too far, Eddie.
I apologize to Amber.
She's not an animal. She's not an animal.
Oh, man. That was awesome. Right, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man. That was funny. I thought that was really fun looking up. I mean, I can see why people get into gossip because it just takes you down a crazy rabbit hole, man. I could have found 20 more stories of just weird ass shit, but it was like some of the stuff you can't verify, you know, but it makes for good talk during beers and stuff like that, you know? So I thought you guys would enjoy that.
Thank you, sir.
What you got for us? Fake martial artists?
Yeah, I'm going to discuss the three biggest martial arts phonies in the history of mankind. Do you mind if I go now, Frank?
No, definitely go, man. As long as you don't have Steven Seagal on that list, I got no problems with you.
Ooh, going to be. This will be the angriest you've ever been. Don't poop on my bed. All right, guys. Before the UFC, people from all around the world would claim that their style of fighting was the most effective. And it was easy to do. And the bolder the claim, for example, the death touch, the easier it was to be on the cover of Black Belt magazine. Thankfully, it was Hoist Gracie who saved us from these bullshit or bullshito claims by completely annihilating these bullshitters in the UFC with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Having said that, let's begin. The number one person on the phony martial artist list or bullshito list is Steven Seagal. Sorry, Frank.
No! How dare you?
Poor guy.
You're crushing all my childhood dreams, bro.
I feel bad. Poor Steven. He actually believed that his Aikido was the most dominant form of fighting. To the point where he actually challenged a real martial artist, which led to old Stevie to not only getting choked out, but he also shit his pants in the middle of the fight. According to Pat Miletich, UFC welterweight champ, Steven Seagal challenged Judo Gene LaBelle to a fight on one of his movie sets. Gene LaBelle was a stuntman at the time, and he was working on a Steven Seagal movie, so that's how they met. According to Pat Miletich, Gene LaBelle was minding his own business, basically reading the paper. Steven Seagal walked up to him and was like, "Hey, I know who you are. Nice to meet you. But your judo stuff wouldn't work on me. And it would be impossible for me to get choked because of my chi. That's what I learned in Aikido." Again, this is according to Pat Miletich, who's a very honest person, a very reliable source. So Jean LaBelle was like, dude, I just want to read my paper. Jean declined twice before finally saying, you know what, I've had enough of your shit, Steven Seagal, let's go. Within seconds, Jean LaBelle gets a takedown and chokes Steven Seagal unconscious.
Yes.
Steven Seagal goes out and shits his pants.
Oh,
This is according to Pat Miletich. Without missing a beat, Jean LaBelle says he must have had a big lunch. So he drops Steven Seagal and he's like, well, I'm not hungry anymore, and walks off set. So that's number one, guys, Steven Seagal. The number two bullshit artist that I'm going to discuss is Count Dante. Count Dante, remember that name. Count Dante, he's been dead for 50 years, but is still legendary for his Bullshito ways. Count Dante claimed to be a Spaniard and also said he was of royal Spanish heritage. It turns out his parents were Irish Americans, and Count Dante was born in Chicago. Yeah, that. Count Dante claimed that he trained with ninjas in Japan and learned the secrets of
Yes.
the death touch. So this is where the death touch came from. It came from this asshole, Count Dante.
Oh, yeah. He's an originator,
Yes,
trailblazer.
he is. His real name, by the way, was John Keegan. Good Irish Catholic boy, John Keegan. We've heard of the expression, the way of the warrior. Michael Bisping refers to Count Dante's ninjutsu as the way of the
Good one.
I will say this about Count Dante. He was very charismatic, and he was great at marketing. This guy w was worth tens of mi he made tens of millions of dollars selling books and teaching seminars, but ultimately developed a bad coke habit and died of a stomach ulcer related to his excessive use of alcohol. So that is Count Dante's legacy. I mean John Keegan's legacy. So that's the number two bullshito artist in the history of mankind.
John Death
All
Touch Keegan, R.I.P.
right. So Count Dante, he would actually dye his hair black and speak with a phony Spanish accent. Yeah, dude.
Oh, that's awesome. I would
This
pay to
motherfucker
see
was all
that.
in. This
Yeah.
motherfucker was all in, dude.
He's better than that lady that was trying to pretend that she was black, remember?
Oh yeah, no, God, she that's who inspired her was Count Dante. All right, guys.
Fantastic.
Number three, the number three bullshito artist is Bruce Lee. Yes, I said it. Bruce Lee.
Ooh. You're causing
Bruce Lee.
waves right now, man.
Dude, the truth needs to get out there. The truth needs to get out there.
You're
Bruce Lee
lucky
never had
Elon Musk
snakes.
just bought Twitter.
What's that?
You're lucky Elon Musk just bought Twitter.
I know, I
2 weeks
know.
ago, you wouldn't be able to say this.
I would be banned.
Yep. All right. Continue, my friend. Sorry.
That's okay. Bruce Lee never had a sanctioned fight or a sanctioned bout of any sort. His only documented fight, he lost by armbar to, check this out, Mr. Judo himself, Jean LaBelle. So Jean LaBelle is
Ooh.
responsible for taking out two phonies. Bruce Lee,
Wow.
yeah, dude. Yeah, Jean LaBelle doesn't get the respect that he deserves. Bruce Lee, jock sniffers, will argue that you could just tell by the way he fought in his movies that he was a great martial artist. To which I say, if you judge someone's martial arts ability by choreographed fights, then Hulk Hogan.
Word, I second that.
His jock sniffers, Bruce Lee's jock sniffers will also say he invented mixed martial arts when he invented Jeet Kune Do. They are wrong again. It was Hulse Gracie who combined the most effective martial arts styles first. And Hulse Gracie actually fought
Boom.
and won numerous world titles in different combat sports. So, in a nutshell, guys, Hollywood made Bruce Lee look tough, but in actuality, he was a wimp. So, there you go, Frank. The three biggest martial arts stonies in the history of mankind. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, oh, that was cool, man. That's good talk right there. You know, I had heard that story of Jean LaBelle, but I did not know he had armbarred Bruce Lee. That's fucking crazy. And I love that. Oh, he had a good. He must have had a big lunch. I can totally see him saying some shit like The only thing, yeah, man. Can you imagine? And Jean LaBelle is a badass mofo, man. That I won't, you know.
Yeah, he fought a boxer in the 60s and choked him out.
Yeah,
It
he was
was like
doing MMA
first,
before.
sanctioned fight, mixed style fight. So this, not only did I call out the three biggest phonies, but I also given props to Judo Jean LaBelle.
Yeah, you elevated a legend.
Yeah, he trained Ronda Rousey when she was at her best. Just for our
Yep.
fans out there to know.
Yep, when she was on her crazy ass run, running everybody over.
Yep.
Then she thought she had stand up, and then it was all downhill.
Yeah, man. She cheated on the sport and she paid the price.
Yep. Oh well, that's what happens. Paved the way for others to come up, though. She was for sure a trailblazer, as was Judo
Yep.
Jean. So thanks again, Eddie.
Yo, thank you, Frank. Thank you for letting me for allowing me to share. What do you got for us, man?
All
What's
right.
the third?
All right, man. I got another story for us. And this I was listening to a Joe Rogan Experience episode a couple weeks back, and it was an episode that he had Jake Shields on. And for
Oh,
some reason, think they started talking about like how basically they were talking about how, like how people get away with doing whatever, you know, like you can call somebody a name online and or you can call somebody a name it to their face, and then you beat that person up or you do something to that person, and that person plays the victim, and then they get all the sympathy and all the rewards. Well, back in the day, that shit wouldn't fly. Because back in the day, if you said something to someone, you could challenge them to a duel. So, Eddie, you know
Okay.
what do you know about dueling before I jump into this?
You take off a glove, probably a white glove. You walk up to a
Preferably.
motherfucker you don't like. You smack him in the face and say, "I challenge you to a duel at this time, this place." And if you don't show up, you're basically a bitch.
Word.
Is that accurate?
I don't have a history book. I don't have a history book in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate as fuck.
Okay.
Fact. So let me give you some background on that. Duels were pretty much just like you just mentioned. It was a mutual combat agreed upon by two quote unquote gentlemen. Now, what defines a gentleman? I don't know. I mean, people call me a gentleman. Am I a gentleman? Probably not.
You are.
I've heard people call Alfonso a gentleman, and you and I both know that he is not a gentleman.
But it was on opposite day that they called
Oh,
him
okay. Then
the
there, all right. Okay. Then there. All right. Then on that day, he was a
He
gentleman. But
was
yeah,
a
one day a year, the one day a year.
on opposite day.
So on all the other days when everyone else is being a gentleman, and as long as they were of the similar social class. Now, dueling, it seems like it was reserved for the people in the higher classes. You know, I'm pretty sure that most working class folk back then couldn't afford the dueling pistols, much less the dueling white gloves that are needed to insinuate the challenge, right?
Okay.
So
there were rules to this.
There were definite rules to this. There were rules. What I found was that it seems to have started in Italy, and it eventually made its way into England. And when it's made its way into England in the 1570s, it was like TikTok. Everyone was all over it. Everyone was doing it. And there were rules, like you said. So during this time, you know, the 1570s, the 16th century, honor was held in the highest esteem by the upper classes. So that basically ruled everything. And it says that it was paramount to honor as a gentleman's reputation. So I found an article called The Death of Dueling, written by Wade Ellen. And actually, let me read this quote. It says, during this time, honor was held in the highest esteem by the upper classes. And paramount to this honor was a gentleman's reputation. So,
okay.
Meaning, if someone challenged your reputation or said something to it, it was up to you to withhold your honor and say, hey, that is completely false. It is so false that I challenge you to a duel. Take off glove, approach opponent, slap them with said glove. I challenge you to a duel tomorrow at 1 a.m. Alfonso, get the dueling pistols ready. And it was on.
Okay.
Doing more research, what I found was that not every duel actually ended in a real shootout. Because it was all about honor, sometimes it was just about showing up.
Oh, okay. So I don't want to die.
Exactly. And people would sometimes shoot up into the air. People would shoot into the ground. But they did not all end in that way. And a lot of people did end up dying. And I ended up going on and doing more research. And I found some super crazy, interesting gunfights. Let me see here how many crazy stories I got here. I got three stories for us that might interest you, might knock your socks off. So, again, remember at this time, this is the early onset, early pre-Civil War times, you know. Again, honor was held very high, depending. And you know what I found was it didn't specify what these fights were about. I mean, I found some of these fights got started because of a lady. Some of these fights got started because people were talking smack about each other. Some of these fights got started because someone said that they cheated on some type of contest. And in order to prove that the other person was lying, they were willing to be like, yo, I will kill you for saying that.
Wow.
So it just kind of fucking blows my mind that kind of stuff was allowed to happen. And dude, when I started doing some research on this, there were some crazy... I mean, again, I remember I said this at the very beginning. This was held up for like the upper echelon of people. You know what I mean? This was people who had money, people who had prestige, people who had clout. These were like people in government. These were fucking lawyers, doctors. These were the rich, like the 1%. Imagine the 1%ers right now. Imagine Jeff Bezos getting into it with Elon Musk and being like, my rockets are better than yours. And Elon's like, you know what? Fuck that. We're fucking fighting, fool. Bring your gun. We're fighting tomorrow. That shit would never fly. They would cancel Elon like the next day.
I'd love to see it.
Oh, it would be fantastic. I'll buy that pay-per-view right now. I would watch that over bare knuckle anytime. So check this out. Famous duel number one that I'm going to share with you. You ever heard of Alexander Hamilton? Same Hamilton that I believe is known for the musical. Alexander Hamilton was a former Secretary of Treasury of the United States. in the early onsets of the country, right? Well, Alexander Hamilton had some beef with a gentleman by the name of Aaron Burr. Now, Aaron Burr was the vice president to Thomas Jefferson at the time and was also a lawyer. Well, at the in 1804, Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton were both running for governor of New York. And as like today, what do people do when they're running against each other? They start talking shit about each other, right?
They sling mud.
Yeah, they sling mud, and that's what was going on. So they each were talking so much shit that Aaron Burr was like, you know what, dog? Fuck you. We're dueling. We're running for governor, but we're dueling. We're going to fight. And even though Alexander Hamilton's son had died in a duel 3 years to this, he still agreed to do it.
Damn.
Why did he do it? Dude, his name was on the his. He got challenged. He had to step up, I guess, you know. So reputation. He ends up doing, yeah, reputation, man. Like, and so they ended up fighting. Hamilton accepted. Guess what happens the next day?
What?
Aaron Burr fucking blasts Alexander Hamilton in the stomach, and he dies. Oh, he dies shit. He dies the next day. And then people, because these things were public. So people were able to do these, like, and this was like entertainment, kind of like in the main street, kind of like, until eventually this stuff ended up getting outlawed. And they continued in private. And because people were fighting for honor, if people weren't finding out about it, you know, it really kind of wasn't worth it. So it kind of started to die down once it became illegal. But before that, there's all kinds of crazy ass stories. So going back to Aaron Burr, I didn't find out if he ended up winning governor or not. I would imagine he did because he fucking killed the guy he was running up against. It did say that people were really upset at him. And then after that, it kind of tanked his whole political career. So it would make sense.
Damn. Yeah. He killed his opponent, his political opponent.
How you do it, man. Now, this one, dude, this next one is super crazy. So, you know, you've heard of Andrew Jackson, I'm sure. Jackson, our seventh president.
He pushed so the Andrew Cherokees off their reservation.
Dude, Andrew Jackson was a motherfucker, man. He's a fucking asshole. He's a lawyer, the general. He did what you mentioned. And according to the history books, he was a duelist, like an MF-er. According to the history books, they say he's got over 100 duels in his life. And he definitely killed somebody. You can find this article in the Washington Post archives. The title of the article that I read was Andrew Jackson was in more than 100 duels, and he killed a guy. So, again, people were always dueling over reputations, over shit talking. And in this particular duel, Andrew Jackson was pitted against a gentleman by the name of Charles Dickinson. Not the writer, but another guy named Charles Dickinson, who was a horse breeder. Charles Dickinson was a horse breeder in the United States. And what had happened was, I guess Andrew Jackson's horse won a race, or he picked a winner in a race, and Charles was like, nah, fool, you fucking cheated. You didn't win that contest. And he started calling Andrew Jackson a liar and a cheater. And he let it slide. But it escalated. This fool, Charles Dickinson, escalated it and brought in Andrew Jackson's wife. Andrew Jackson's wife, Rachel Jackson, was previously married to another man before Andrew Jackson married her. So Andrew Jackson, I guess you could say, rescued her from her previous husband, who was abused. They say he was verbally and physically abusive, almost killed her multiple occasions. Andrew Jackson ended up taking her out and eventually married her. And then she ended up divorcing her husband, of course. But what Charles Dickinson did was play off of that and called Rachel a bigamist. And that was the line that Andrew Jackson was like, yo, you don't cross that line, dog. You don't cross that line. I challenge you to a duel. So Andrew Jackson challenges Charles Dickinson to this duel. Side note, I don't know how they prove this, but it says that Charles Dickinson was the number one shooter in the nation. Apparently, he's a badass with the pistola.
Wow.
So he agrees to this duel. And I guess in the duels before they start off, so how a duel goes is they agree beforehand who's going to shoot first. And they start at a, I don't know if they really start back to back, but essentially they agree to a certain distance that they're each going to be standing away from each other. And basically they're going to take turns shooting at each other until somebody's dead. So those are the rules, right? Yeah. So in this duel, Charles Dickinson is going to shoot first. He shoots first, and guess what? Fucking blast Andrew Jackson right in the fucking chest, dude. Right. It says that he got blasted right in the chest, right next to his heart. And oh, he said that. Yeah, dude. It gets even more savage because they say that there's literally blood and smoke spewing out of the hole in his chest. And Andrew Jackson just takes his other hand and like plugs it up so that it stops coming out, takes the pistol out, raises it, shoots. However, the gun misfires. Well, he recocks it and shoots again. And he fucking kills him.
Oh, now, fuck.
Yeah, the rules are kind of gray in that, like, when there's a misfire, that's kind of supposed to count as a shot. And okay. So he wasn't supposed to reload and do it again, but he did it anyways, and he fucking killed that fool.
So
people got pissed off, but guess what? Didn't stop him from becoming our seventh president. Ended up serving 2 terms. How many charges did he get on him? None. 0 charges brought upon him, my friend. None.
Wow.
Had his name been Joaquin Mendoza, he'd be done.
Yeah. He wouldn't. I mean, he wouldn't even be in the upper echelon.
No, definitely not. Probably wouldn't have had pistols either. Yeah. So I got one more crazy dueling story, and it's kind of, it'll end us on a light note. It's not so serious. It turns out that the famous writer Mark Twain was once challenged to a duel. So it says that in 1864, Mark Twain accused the owner of a newspaper, James Layard, of not following through on a promise to give money to a certain charity. So he started talking shit about him. Layard ends up challenging Mark Twain to a duel, but it says that Mark Twain was a fucking shitty shooter. No matter what. And he ended up hiring some guy to teach him how to shoot, but he still sucked. Well, the day of the duel comes, and the guy that Mark Twain hired to train him to shoot ends up shooting a bird super close, picks up the bird, brings it into town, and tells everybody that Mark Twain shot this bird from 30 feet.
Damn.
Well, word gets around, and Layard hears about this, and Layard's like, I don't want that smoke. I'm fucking out. And called off the duel. Saved his life, dude. Yeah, so that was the craziest little story there. Something that wouldn't have happened nowadays because people be like, pictures or video or shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah, man, so that was my last duel story. So I was just – really, as I was doing this research, man, I was just amazed that this kind of savagery was allowed, you know? They had laws.
Wasn't that long ago either.
It wasn't, dude. They stopped doing this like in the mid-1800s. Like, people were getting ready to start doing shit, you know? Like, the Industrial Revolution was around the corner. There was really no need for this to be happening, you know? They had courts and laws to settle disputes. There was a lawyer. Go get your lawyer. Lawyer up, take that fool to court. You don't need to try to kill him. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, ego's a motherfucker, man. I mean, to the point where you have everything and someone still, still. Yeah, just because someone calls you a bitch, you're like, fuck it. I'm willing to lose it all so people don't think I'm a bitch.
Yeah, crazy. And, you know, it's weird. You know, guns back then weren't as, like, accurate or as reliable as they are. So there was a lot of misfires, you know. But still, man, it's balls to have to show up.
Yeah, I mean, with Andrew Jackson, holy shit, he might have. Yeah, it would have been a different story for the Cherokees, perhaps.
Dude, he was serial.
He was killed and never been president.
Yeah. 100 times he could have died and he didn't. Crazy.
Because the Cherokees sued Andrew Jackson and said what he's doing is illegal. He can't force us off a reservation. You signed a treaty. The Supreme Court sided with the Cherokee Nation, and Andrew Jackson told the Supreme Court, well, do something about it then. You need to stop me. How are you going to stop me? I'm the president. And force the Cherokees off the reservation anyway.
What a motherfucker, man. What a motherfucker. That's our country. That's a wrap for this month's episode of Forties with Friends, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed them stories. Have a great week, everybody. Keep rolling and training if you can, and we hope to hear from you soon. Peace.
This is The Motivation.